Ammunition.
Oh, is it? Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Right, ammunition. Right. Yeah. And that's what I'm getting at, Tony. The content makes a difference.
And less than an acre of land.
The content makes a difference in how hazardous it is.
Brand new building.
Yep.
Nice site. I agree. You know, but that would be a case where you wouldn't want to have to.
Of course not.
You don't want to.
But he could sell the building.
I'm still fine with
it. And it could be something
else.
It could
be something close to even $500 for a risk.
Well, that's my point. When the application comes in, we need somewhere in our ordinance that says a new application, whether it's the same use, needs to be reevaluated.
I see where it's.
This is what I said before. All of them should have a risk assessment, because if it's only going to cost, say, $200 to $500 for somebody to get a risk assessment saying this isn't going to be a risk, well, it's worth it to us. Because then we have the assessment, we have what the intended use is of it. I don't think that's going to hurt anybody.
But that's not where he's going. He's talking about the next guy.
Yeah, but everything should be based off that risk assessment then. If the risk assessment isn't valid for the next use, you must come back in.
But that's a good place to tag it.
Yeah.
That if the new user has a different level of risk based on changes to what was presented in the risk assessment, then a new risk assessment has to be presented for a new conditional use.
Okay.
Does that sound like something you could do, Tony?
How's the next property owner going to become an applicant?
When they go for their zoning permit.
Because they're good, so that it's going to be at the time of, if they come in for the zoning permit, then it's referred over.
The zoning officer will have to go by that rule and say,
just so we're all on the same page.
You're going to have to go for another conditional use because you're changing the risk assessment of the property.
Okay, so it's not going to be change of use anymore.
Right.
It's going to be change of risk.
Risk assessment.
Our current, well, it's conditional use ordinance has the following language in it, 608.3. It says any expansion of or addition to a use or structure classified as a conditional use shall be considered a conditional use unless it's an accessory use. And therefore would require a new application. But I think we could add something to this that would deal with, and under standards and criteria, that any use which is going to store materials which may be hazardous and may have an impact on health, safety, and welfare, any change in that use would also require a conditional use. The problem you have with that is you're charging what for a conditional use right now?
About $1,000.
Yeah. So it's going to cost that new owner $1,000 just for the application. Plus,
well,
if he has to do.
But we're getting crazy about just chemicals or just storage of valve or hazardous materials. A new use that comes in that's extremely loud is a problem for a neighborhood as well. You know, so that's where triggering a risk assessment is going to let us know what those problems are.
Yeah,
I think
the
fewer exemptions you have, and I know it's hard to tell somebody that, but you know, I just see something bad happening.
I mean, I mean,
my honest opinion, the acre, anything over an acre of disturbance has to follow all this. We haven't had problems in the past with everything that's been going on here.
Yep.
I'm just going to put this out there as a business owner. Anybody that wants to start a new business or take over a business or anything like that, they know there's going to be costs.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody. I mean, when you're going to open a business, you expect to spend, you know, sometimes tens of thousands of dollars just to get it started.
Yeah.
So I understand that we're trying to not hinder the smaller business to come in, but nobody's going to think that they're just going to walk in the door and not have to spend. It's not that day and age anymore. Yeah, but they do it all the time.
Yeah.
But they know in the back of their mind that
no, they don't. These people come in and think they can just come in and get a permit and open.
then.
We deal with it all the time.
Then those type of people, they need to be educated at that point.
But that's my point about the risk assessment. If you gotta spend $200 to $500 for a risk assessment and it's gonna save you the $50,000 on all the testing that's worth.
And I'm affirming that fact, is that people are gonna be aware that they have to spend money to, you know, so to worry about it all that much, I don't think it's necessary.
So would it be acceptable to add to 608.3 under conditional uses, instead of calling it expansions and additions to conditional uses, we can call it expansions, additions, and or change of uses.
Modifications.
To additional conditional uses and say in there that a conditional use would be needed not just for any structural change or addition or any expansion of the use, but also any change in the use would require a new conditional use application.
Any change in processes, procedures.
It could probably be a little bit more descriptive of that to harden it up.
Okay.
So that you know what the trigger is.
Yeah, because I did remember that there was a section in there that kind of deals with it, but not to its fullest extent.
Right, but you need to get to the procedures or the type of. I don't know what the right words would be, but.
Yeah, we have an interesting standard under 608.4, which also says here that it says the proposal shall also be evaluated as to the degree to which the proposed location may be suitable or unsuitable for the use in light of the other potential sites in the immediate area, including those which might exist in adjacent communities. I'm not sure that that's a lawful standard.
No, that's definitely not a lawful standard from the all the case law that I read.
Right, so, yeah, I don't, but that's in there, and we also have one that's not used a lot when we evaluate these things, but probably should be, and that is the third one that says it won't impose an undue burden on any of the improvements, facilities, utilities, and services of the township, whether such services are provided by the township or some other entity. We might be able to use that for, does it apply? Is it going to be a burden on the water authority to supply water? Is there going to be an issue with water supply and things of that nature?
Well, I thought that would be part of the risk assessment.
Well, it should be, but I'd be curious to see what we get for risk assessments. Well, I know what John and I are thinking of risk assessments, but there are people out there who will write, oh yeah, there's nothing wrong with this.
But they still got to list out what they're doing, and we're going to have it reviewed.
Yeah. Well, that's where the opportunity is. If John is coming back and say, hey, Milford Township, this risk assessment is not complete, is deficient, substantially deficient, then, you know, that's grounds, I would say, to, you know, reject the application.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah. And less than 1 acre of disturbance, I think we all agree on. Do you want to do 10,000 square feet? I guess that's the question. Do you want to make it 5,000?
Well, we compromised to do 75.
Again, my issue isn't with the size. My issue is with the content. You know, if it could be 10,000, it could be 5,000 or 7,500, and then it could be 10,000 if they don't X, Y, and Z.
She's talking about my shed.
Yeah, but we're not going to do that exemption totally because we're going to go back to the risk assessment with it. So I think my personal opinion is up to 10,000 is not bad, but I think 7,500 5,000 to 7,500 would be, I think, more realistic for a small mom and pop type operation or a small startup business.
Yeah, I it's hard to get anything, even retail, under 1,500 square feet anymore. It's tough. Even your convenience stores are 3,000 to 6,000 square feet.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was always in the details. What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
I think we should go with 5.
Anything over 5 has to do the risk assessment?
That's what I would say.
Okay.
Just because it's not going to be that expensive, even if it's a 10,000 square foot building, and you got no risk.
Okay.
5,000 is kind of small. You're not spending a lot of money already.
I mean, it's 50 by 100.
It's still a good size building.
Yeah, it's small.
How do you guys think? Opinion one way or the other. With the size, the 1 acre.
How big's your shed? 100 square feet.
It's 14 by 18.
So it's 200 some odd square feet.
Oh, yeah, so let's drop it to 199.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. I don't have a problem with 5,000 square feet because I'm doing it in my head. I'm thinking.
Yeah.
How much can you pack in a 5,000 square foot building? You put a lot of bad shit.
You can put a lot of stuff. You can put a lot of bad shit.
You can put a lot of bad shit. No, excuse my language. So you put a lot of bad stuff in a 5,000 square foot building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can. I probably have neighbors that do.
So if we're gonna go with the size, I thought it was fine with me.
Yeah. Sounds good.
5,000 and 1 acre disturbance.
Correct.
Okay, let's focus on the warehouse stuff for a while. So, I'm not sure. John, did you bring anything new?
I did not, no.
Okay.
No, we went over what he had brought. And it's very informative. It's actually a long...
This is the truck terminal.
Which
thing are you talking about?
John's.
Okay, this is the...
You have a model ordinance,
the land use code at the beginning, and then the model ordinance. From,
okay, so the packet from
John
February.
John had given us the list.
Oh, this is it.
It starts with high cube warehouse definition.
Yeah.
Land use code.
I think all the information that he has in there is valuable, but... quite lengthy to put in an ordinance, and we had talked about making it some type of addendum to the ordinance that has to be followed.
You have a definition of warehouse in the zoning ordinance, so you'd have to amend the ordinance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One way or the other. Because you don't want to go by the definition that's currently in there.
No.
Nope.
That's why I'm saying if we take this, where our definition of warehouse is, and put see whatever we want to call this, that they have to follow and not actually incorporate this into the ordinance, because it would make the ordinance a whole book.
How would someone be notified of that? I guess I know we don't have the money to codify our codes.
Well, that would come with this.
Okay.
If we're gonna take parts of this or the whole thing, whatever we're gonna take of this, we add that into here, that whatever we call that addendum has to be followed for definitions and trip ends.
I think I would rather take the time and have someone type it up and have it as part of the zoning ordinance.
This whole thing.
Yeah, because otherwise, you're going to get into an argument down the road. Well, I didn't have that, I didn't see that on your website, and that's not here, and it's not part of the ordinance, it's...
Well, that's why I'm saying we name it, make it part of the ordinance. But just not incorporate all that writing into the ordinance.
Is that the one that's the list of codes?
Yeah, different code numbers and everything for the warehouses, different warehouse uses, different parking.
The only one I have a question on is High Cube Warehouse.
Are we on John's letter now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So John, as I understand it, it's anything over 24 feet.
Yes.
In height. But I just read somewhere where they now have the machinery to utilize a 24-foot building for three stacks. So...
It might be their roundabout. I don't know. I know that that's been the targeted number for some time.
Okay, 24 feet.
24 feet was the targeted number. But
three stacks, you mean three stacks in pallet racking height? Three, so...
Eight. They've gotten to the point where they have figured out how to do it without feet going over the 24 feet height.
Okay.
So, we have proposals, and I know I'm jumping around, especially with what we're facing before for the other review. Mm-hmm. We're asked for 45 feet, but we've held our ordinance at 35 feet because of fire protection. So shouldn't that be consistent all the way through?
And
35 feet is 35 feet.
Yeah, and I think you should probably amend, you know, if they don't have the ability to fight fires in a building, if they don't have the ability to fight fires in a building of 45 feet, then we should probably get that out of our standards.
Well, 35 feet, but our new proposal is asking us for 45, right?
Because the maximum building height now in the DED district is 45.
Was it 45?
Yeah. It's in 45 in all of them.
Okay.
Well, we got three ladder trucks right here within a matter of minutes.
That's why they're calling out 45, because that's what's currently in the ordinance.
And we got into that because there was a discrepancy on the measurement of height of buildings. People had had a garage exposed, that's why we got...
Yeah, I don't know why it was, but it's been in there since as long as I've...
Well, where do you measure the 45 feet from? It's been the question all along.
Yeah.
And the people that build a house and put a garage underneath it, and then do you measure from that one side where it's in the ground, or do you measure from the common grade?
So that's called...
We always went by the most common natural grade.
Right.
So you have two different... You have a building code approach to that definition, and then some ordinances, some zoning ordinances have an approach to it. But generally the building code is like 50%. So 50% of your building is below, talking about your basement, if 50% is 6 feet or below, then it's considered a basement. If 50% or more is above 6 feet, then it's considered an additional story. So that's how the building code recognizes it, whether that's a story or a basement as far as classification. Most ordinances take the average grade around the perimeter of the building, and then you project that up from a zoning perspective.
Yeah, for zoning, that's how it's measured.
Yeah. So you take the average grade and you project it up. From a building code, it becomes a story if it's greater than 50%. That's more than 6 feet out of the ground.
I'm not quite sure why they did it that way in zoning ordinances, but that's the way it's been.
So then the 45 feet doesn't present any issue.
I don't think so. I mean, 45 is actually quite large.
It's pretty tall.
You know, most of these buildings, like warehouses, I mean, they're not going to have peaked roofs. They're going to be generally mm-hmm. flat roofs.
Yeah.
So because of their sheer volume. So I think 45 is, you know, it's pretty high, you know, for a building. You know, as far as firefighting, I mean, that's one issue, which is how a fire company responds, whether a building is required to have other components like sprinklers. I mean, that's a building code issue that they would have to satisfy.
Is 45 too high?
I think for this area, probably. No, I think 35 is a good number.
And there's plenty of other ordinances that have 35.
Yeah.
So, but you would have to change your schedule of uses.
What was the max height across the street?
What's that? The Econo Park?
Mm-hmm.
What is their height? they're like under 35. Based on this definition of the average grade, they're under 35, yeah.
Okay.
I think Ruby's a building probably taller.
I mean, you could always grant the variance.
Ruby's is actually
right?
taller.
You know, if a building comes in and it wants to be 40.
Yeah, there's
a zoning
hearing board. I had that issue recently with an apartment building. It was, you know, 35 was the maximum height. In order to get three stories, they would have to go 40, so they went to 40.
Yeah, I mean, well, like an apartment building is a building that would have a hip roof on, so its height is going to be, you know, an issue. But these warehouses, you know, you're not going to get a hip roof on them. They're going to be generally flat. So, I mean, 35 is basically three stories for a warehouse.
So do you think we should amend the performance standards to 35 feet in all zones?
Almost every town I do business in, it's 35 is the magic number.
Mm-hmm. Me too, except this one.
It's the magic number, yeah. I mean, the only municipalities are typically your cities will have more than that.
Townships usually are 35.
Yeah, townships are 35 feet. Your cities like Newburgh, Middletown, even Port Jervis is more than that, but those are different settings.
40. I've seen some that are 40.
40, but yeah. 35 is a good number.
Yeah. I mean, we allow residences up to 45 feet. That's it.
35 feet, you still got 3 floors and 5 foot of attic.
More than enough.
Yeah.
And you could always look at it, a variance, if it's reasonable. You know, if there's really a need to exceed it.
The only ones that I know of that'll exceed it is the church. The steeple.
But most, I mean, I haven't looked close enough, but most...
No, that's usually...
Mostly an exemption.
Yeah.
Usually, like, places of worship have an exemption.
Mm-hmm.
They have an exemption for height.
Yeah, I think we have that in there, though. I remember, like,
this is good material for defining the different types.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Talks about employee parking, truck and trailer parking, loading, functionality. It doesn't do a lot with standards. Doesn't box in what the requirements are. And I know we took a crack at this before. And I think we looked at Pocono Township as an example.
What?
For actual standards.
Mm-hmm. Standards of what?
For warehouses.
Well, this
and part of the issue was...
These are the classifications of all warehouses.
Yeah.
So...
The issue was, if the standards are the same, then you don't really have different uses, right? There's no functionality to having different uses.
But they're listed as different uses. That's why I wanted to incorporate this into there.
Right.
That determines the trip ends, that determines how many, yeah, how much truck traffic, parking, everything else you're gonna need by the type of use it is. That's different. That's why the classifications are there.
I think in the York County Planning Commission document, they go into small warehouse and large warehouse,
yes,
logistics centers.
It's the Penn Futures model.
But they also have some standards regarding sound and noise and lighting and things of that nature. But what I found interesting in that model is that they have on page 9 of 12, it calls for an environmental impact assessment to be performed for truck centers and warehouses. And if you go and look under that, I think it covers a lot of what we were talking about before, including critical impact areas, floodplains, repairing and buffer streams, wetlands, slopes greater than 15%.
Mm-hmm.
And without getting into greater detail, I would just say that that some of these standards could be adjusted that to deal with our township situation. Like, we don't care what the external building color materials are, do we?
Oh, I disagree.
Okay. You want to tell somebody what color they're building?
I mean,
yes, absolutely.
Go back to
if it's going to be, if it's going to be a massive 400,000 square foot building,
okay,
I think you definitely want it to be as subtle as possible.
If somebody builds a 10,000 square foot house,
that's in this ordinance.
Right.
Do we
the building colors, external
right.
building materials, some people
right.
colors.
Again, back to
like the subtle and earth tone.
Right.
The environmental impact assessment. That, the only thing I added to that was put environmental risk and impact assessment.
Yeah, I'm especially like the buffer yards.
Yep.
On page 5. Mm-hmm. Any structure less than 100,000 square feet, 100-foot buffer yard for the entire length of the street footage and 500 feet between existing residential property line or zone, school, daycare center, hospital, place of worship, park or public open space.
The only thing I changed there that I wanted to question, see what everybody thought, the side buffer for 50 foot. Do we want to go more than 50 feet? 50 feet's not a lot for truck noise.
Well, that's why it's to non-residential.
That's why it's to non-residential.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if I own a business next to it, I'm not going to want to hear it all day long either. Did we want to keep that?
Nope.
Say you got a doctor's office next to
it. I don't want to hear it either, but...
I'm just saying, do we want to keep the 50 feet or not? It's a question.
Yeah. The danger is if you make it 150 feet, now you got side setbacks of 300 feet, which means that the average lot has to be almost 1,000.
And that's going to play into a lot of these lot sizes anyway, because your buffer zone can take a third of an acre to an acre.
Yeah.
The way it, just with the 50 feet.
Yeah.
You're looking at, on a 2-acre lot, you're looking at a third of an acre taken up just in buffer zone, never mind parking, building.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to build a 200,000 square foot warehouse on 2 acres. Anyway.
No.
Indeed.
No, that was...
Yeah, I think a lot of these are...
That was for 100,000 square foot, less than, and down. they were asking for 2 acres of property. And I was thinking, by the time you're done with the parking and the building, forget it, there's nothing left of the land.
My favorite is them, parking and amenities for truck drivers.
43,560.
Which is really important, because what happens otherwise is you end up with trucks parked.
The land itself isn't big enough.
All.
On residential, right.
No.
I hear a lot of complaints about.
I'm saying, I based it off a 25,000 square foot building.
So I think the model itself is a good one.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I think we just need to go through it.
That's what I want to do today.
If there's anything that is contrary to what we want to see as a township, we should, you know, call attention to it.
All right, you want to run through it quick, and I'll just give you my comments quick?
Go ahead.
Page 1 of 12. Truck terminal distribution center and fulfillment center. Fifth line down. They talk about accessory to the building, and they got refueling maintenance facilities for trucks using the terminal. Do we want all of that in a terminal? Because we never even discussed that.
I think the goal there is to try to have all those facilities available inside the center.
Yeah.
So that they don't have to be out on the road at the local gas station getting gas and things of that nature. PennDOT's notorious for this, that their cinder centers and their centers for winter maintenance, they are trying to have all of their repairs, refueling and washing and maintenance activities in buildings in the same center. Because what they've learned over the years is that it's too much on the roadways and too much for traffic to have their trucks going here, there, and everywhere to refuel.
But then again, now we're looking at a whole nother animal too, because now you're going to want recycling, filtration. That wasn't in here.
If they need it, they need it.
Well, I'm just saying, that wasn't in here. Is that something we, if we're going to keep that in there, is that something we want to add to it?
Well,
self-contained and filtering and reuse.
Well, I don't know. That's going to be a decision that you guys make. But
just under conditional use?
I would think it's almost, because these are all going to be, you're talking about development in these logistics centers that are going to be at least 10 acres each. They're not going to be any smaller than 10 acres.
No, so, depending on the size of the building. That was another thing I had here.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just hitting it. You guys can think about it. I just want to hit the.
So can I just get a clarification from you, Bob?
Yeah.
You're talking about taking the definitions that John presents here and mincing them into the content for the standards that York is providing. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So your point is, do we want to have repair, washing, refueling, and maintenance facilities for trucks using the terminal?
Right. Now, whether we want it or not, but if we want it, if we want to leave that in, do we want to go forward and add in that it has to be self-sufficient recycling like they do for the car washes and stuff like that? Because now you're looking, I remember when PennDOT had their truck wash down here, and all that went over the hill into the Sawkill.
I don't think that you can put a wash station in without a recycling system anymore.
I don't think you can.
No, I don't.
I don't know what the state standards are on it.
You're not going to do that today.
No.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think you can do it anymore.
In fact, the one in Homestead.
Only the state can do it. Right?
The one in Homestead, they didn't even allow them to recycle the water. The water has to go to a treatment plant and be treated.
Well, yeah, I mean, most places have their own, like, mini treatment plant on it to take out sediment. I know the car wash down here does.
Yeah.
It takes out sediment, and they have to have it slurried out from time to time.
So that may be covered by the state specs.
I believe it would.
I'm unfamiliar with it, so.
I am kind of familiar with it. I mean, I'm not on a professional level or anything, but I know a couple of people that own car washes. And
they're highly regulated.
Yes, very, very much so. So you can't put in a wash station, that's called a wash station, without some type of recycling.
Yeah.
Or wash, you know, containment system and.
I would agree with that. You have to.
Yeah, that's a regulation that's well over our head.
Okay, agree with that.
I know you had a question on the definition of the large warehouse logistics center that you had written in.
Yeah.
You wanted to add any construction over an acre disturbance would require. Requiring that permit would have to meet the 407 requirements.
Right. Just have it in there so when they can't say they didn't see it when reading through this.
Well, now I'm confused.
For either one.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I don't think the small one would get there either.
I think they're gonna have to comply with 407 regardless.
Oh, yeah, that's right, we changed that since.
Right.
Since I last put that in.
But for clarification, going with these definitions.
Right.
In much greater detail than this.
Right.
Okay.
All right, the next thing I had was page 5 of 12, H, the buffer yards. And that's what I had just brought up before.
Okay.
They got the 50-foot sides. I agree with the front setbacks, the bigger the building, the further the setback. Did we want to stay with 50 feet on the sides? Did we want to go to 75?
Nah, 50's good.
I kind of agree.
From a non-residential, I think it is, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, from a residential, you're gonna have 100.
Yeah, if you've got another business, I mean, another business is, yeah, gonna expect.
Like I said, it's just my opinion. I want to get everybody's, but.
That's what trees are for.
If they're not gonna knock that sound down to 50 feet, I'm gonna tell you that right now. Somebody opens a meditation center next to the, now it's not residential anymore. I'm just putting it out there, that's all. I'm playing devil's advocate.
You put up a sound wall. I don't love the yardage.
I mean, I think it would fall in under the conditional uses.
Well, I think you're gonna, yeah, because I mean, things like noise and that, it's gonna be part of the conditional use, which you'll.
And that's also in here, the noise, which I agreed with their.
So.
Did you get a copy of this, John?
So that's, so that's for, that's the combined footprint and principal structure being less than 100,000 square feet. When you go to number 2, 100,000 to 250, the buffers change.
Yeah.
And in that one, there's a minimum 150-foot buffer in the front. Okay. And 500 feet for an abutting existing residential property line or zone, school, daycare center, hospital, place of worship, park, or public open space. Now it still keeps the 50-foot buffer along all other property lines, but and that was my question because. I guess what it's really meaning to say in number 1 is that all other lines would be 50 feet. It's not worded very nicely.
does that even need to be in there?
Yeah, one says a 50-foot buffer provided along any property line adjacent to a non-residential use or zone, and then next one says 50 feet provided along all other property lines.
Right. Yeah, so they should say the same thing.
I would think you want to be consistent.
Yeah, they should say the same thing.
Yeah, but when you maybe, say all other property lines, you count the front.
But do you want more than 50 feet?
I just think it should be consistent because it's not. You know, I just glanced at it and saw that, and it says the same thing in number 3.
I think that's where you make it.
For your big ones.
Except I think that's where you make it 75 feet. But keep the wording the same.
And the the next thing I had was same page 7 and 9. Mm-hmm. I just threw it to John. For the buffer zone, whether it's gonna work or not. And what they supply, I'm not a landscaper, so I couldn't tell you.
Gentlemen, did you